So you're probably aware that for the last couple weeks, the Olympics have been on. I love watching the Olympics. It's one of my favorite times of the year when they're on. And I find that when I've turned the Olympics on in these last couple weeks, about 90% of the time, there's curling on the TV. And you're probably aware of what this is too, but in case you're not, it's that curious little sport where somebody slides a rock down the ice, and then there's a couple other people who have brooms like sweeping the ice in front of it to either make it speed up or slow down or change direction or this sort of thing. And at first when I turn it on and start watching it, I always think to myself, gosh, why am I watching this right now? But then after a few minutes, I get really into it, and I start to get into the technique and the strategy, and I get very sucked into it. And as I watched more and more, I realized that there's actually a pretty neat metaphor to be made between that sport and our spiritual lives. And so here it is for you. So the person who's throwing the rock is basically the only one who can see where it's going. The people who are sweeping, they look up every once in a while, but mainly they have to look down at the rock and just keep sweeping in front of it, make sure they're not hitting it, make sure they're not hitting other rocks. And they have to listen to the commands of the person who slid the rock in the first place. So they're simply listening and then acting on what they hear. Again, the person who threw the rock is the only one who can see where it's going. They're the one giving the instructions for the people how to sweep. And the point here for us, brothers and sisters, is that we are like the sweepers in that situation. God is the one who throws the rock. God is the one who sets our life on a certain path. We are the ones who have to listen to his instructions and then act on them. Because it's not always easy for us to see where the rock is going. It's not always easy for us to see where the path is or what he wants to do with that rock. We simply have to listen to him, and we have to act on his commands. And this, even though it's a very short gospel today, this is what we see, I think, happening in our gospel with Jesus. He goes out into the desert, he fights the temptations, and then he goes on to preach the gospel. So the first part of this is that he's going out into the desert. He's going out into a deserted place, an isolated place. He's spending that time in silence so that he can hear the voice of the Father. And so here's my recommendation for you, for all of us, brothers and sisters, is that we need to spend time in silence. Especially during this Lenten season, we need to spend time in silence. And I know how easy it is when you've got some downtime or some alone time to just turn on some music, to turn on the TV, to go to YouTube and watch a couple of videos, whatever it might be that distracts you in that time. I know it's easy to turn to those things. And it's not always bad to do those things. Sometimes it's good recreation. But we need to make time, make sure we are spending time in silence. Why? Because God speaks in the silence. I just read somewhere that the language of God is silence. And that's a great way to put it. The language of God is silence. If we're not spending that time in quiet, in peace, listening for his word, we're not going to be able to have that deep relationship with him that we really need to be able to go out and act on his commands. So that's what we see Jesus doing first of all. And then, of course, it says that he is tempted by Satan. And so now what I want to do in this homily is give you three principles for how to battle temptation, or how to not fall into temptation. All right. So here's the first principle. It's always better to avoid the temptation if possible. Avoid that near occasion of sin if possible. Think about it this way. Say if there's an alcoholic, he's not going to go into a bar. Why? Because that's the place where he's most tempted. If there's someone addicted to gambling, they're not going to go into a casino. Why? Because that's the place where they're most tempted. And I know these are kind of extreme examples, but you know yourself. You know those temptations that you face, whatever they might be. And you know those situations or those people or those things that might trigger that temptation within you. And so the point here is that the best way to not lose a fight is to not get into the fight in the first place. Avoid the temptations that are the most difficult for you. And that way, you're going to be taking away that near occasion of sin. You'll be much less likely to fall into the temptation in the first place. Okay, so that's the first principle. Stay out of the fight, if possible. Second principle. We all know that the fight is going to come to us sooner or later, whether we want it to or not. There's going to be something that we see in an advertisement, in a commercial, something that somebody says, whatever it might be, just some random thought that pops into your head, that's going to start the temptation. So, what do you do at that moment? That is the critical moment. So what we have to realize, brothers and sisters, is that we need to reject the temptation, that tempting thought, early and often. The spiritual fathers would say, do not let an evil thought take root. Do not open the door whatsoever to that evil thought. Because once you crack the door open even a little bit, that evil tempting spirit is going to kick down the door. It's going to rush in. It's going to be much harder to get rid of that temptation. So the point, again, is that we reject the temptation early and often. Do not let it take root. Once you let it take root, it's much more difficult to get rid of. All right, so the first principle is to stay out of the fight, if possible. Second principle is to reject that temptation early and often. The third principle is that you must stay calm in the midst of temptation. If you find yourself in a place where that temptation is very difficult already, it's already fully in attacking you, the point is to stay calm, to stay peaceful, to stay disciplined in those spiritual practices, those faith practices that you know are good. Because in that moment, when you're experiencing that temptation, you're not in a good place to make decisions. You're not in a good place to see what's right and what's wrong for you. You have to be disciplined in the things that you know are good. And specifically, I mean prayer. Run to your prayer. Stay disciplined in your prayer. Even when it feels good, doesn't feel good, even when you don't want to do it, stay disciplined in your prayer. Stay disciplined in your participation in the sacraments. Most importantly, the Eucharist and confession. By doing these things, you will be able to fight that temptation. If you simply stay calm and trust in the Lord's help that you will receive through your prayer and through the sacraments. So one more time, stay out of the fight if at all possible. Reject the temptations early and often, and be calm in the midst of temptations. Be disciplined in the things that you know you're supposed to do. Brothers and sisters, we know that the temptations or the tests will eventually come. There's no avoiding that. Once we're on the path to holiness, we are going to become bigger targets for the evil one to want to pull us off of that path. No question about it. However, we also realize that we should never be afraid of the temptation. There's no reason whatsoever to ever be afraid of the temptation. We have our relationship with Jesus Christ. We have his presence in the Eucharist. We have his life in the sacraments. So simply be calm, move forward in those spiritual practices, and ask the Lord for that help that you need to continue on this Lenten season, to do your penance, and to eventually achieve that mission of Jesus Christ that he's calling you to. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.